Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpony, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 14th April 2023, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market teams for the week ahead is Michael Owen, MUFG's Head of Global Client Desk for EMEA in London. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Good afternoon, Derek.
Hello, Michael.
The dollar hit a new year-to-date low today. It's been a very choppy market, in fact, a level not seen since last April. We've seen the dollar rebound this afternoon. What is your take on the reason behind this dollar selling, and what do you think is going to happen in the weeks ahead?
It's been an interesting week. We've had, of course, the crucial data of the month in terms of the CPI, and I'll give PPI I mentioned as well. And also we had, of course, the FOMC minutes from the March meeting. And yeah, while the rates market in terms of price expectations for the FOMC meeting on the 3rd of May didn't really shift around too much, there was certainly some choppiness in terms of intraday swings. And I think in general, the data was certainly consistent with, the Fed being close to done. And I think the fact that we have ended the week with still considerable amount of monetary easing priced by the end of the year and into January of next year, to me, that is the crux of the problem for the dollar. And while we have bounced back a bit this afternoon, there's the back of some comments from Fed officials like Waller, who's spoken about the need to do more. Also, the retail sales figures this afternoon, while they were down on the month, they were down less than expected in the underlying data. And I think that has helped to give the dollar a bit of a lift back. But the real big picture story is inflation, and inflation is declining pretty clearly across most metrics. Indeed, the import price data was weaker than expected as well. So everywhere you look, inflation's coming down faster than expected. And if you look at the CPI data this week, for example, the key core services ex-housing figure that the Fed look at, if you look at it on a six-month annualized basis, which captures, the period since we've seen some more stable inflation rather than the surge that we had through to September, October of last year. On an annualized six-month basis, that core services figure is at 4%, down from 8%. How anybody can't tell you that that's considerable progress towards getting inflation back under control, it's beyond me. But, I think the Fed have talked themselves into hiking on the 3rd of May. They see it as mostly priced, probably. They see it as a safer bet to do. They'd prefer to over-tighten than under-tighten. I can understand all of that. But I still think, given the amount of data that is compellingly showing inflation falling, I certainly don't think there's a need for a hike in the 3rd of May. But, they'll still probably do it. But in the FX Weekly today that we've just released, we've argued that ultimately, that a hike in the 3rd of May is not really going to have a huge amount of difference for the US dollar. Again, it's about what's priced at the back end, and the fact that the market is so convinced on rate cuts coming. I think that will be a clear impediment to any kind of sustained rebound for the US dollar. And indeed, the FOMC minutes, which I mentioned, came out this week as well. The Fed staff are now officially calling for a mild recession. Okay, they say mild, but still a recession later in the year. And you know, that doesn't appear, based on the rhetoric we've had, to have altered the view of the FOMC. And in that sense, you know, as I said, it looks like they'll hike on the 3rd of May. The other, very quickly, the other key inflation print, the PPI, obviously gets less attention than the CPI. But the trade services component in that, which is a measure of margins for companies, that's plunging now. And it's on a 3-month annualized basis is at minus 7.7%. And if you chart that with PCE goods inflation, it's consistent with goods deflation coming into view over, you know, a 3 to 6 month period. So again, goods inflation could turn to goods deflation. The rental figure in the CPI was showed a deceleration, 0.5 month on month in the OER. And that poor services ex-housing figure that I've just mentioned on a 6 month annualized is showing a much more moderate pace. So all in, inflation is fast becoming less of a problem. And I think the markets are looking at that and arguing for the prospects of rate cuts by the end of the year.
And looking forward to next week, obviously a very busy week for the US last week, as you said, not so much next week, but for the UK it will be a busy week. What do you think we should look out for next week? And in terms of the pound, do you think it continue this strong spell?
Yeah, the pound's done well. It's up until recently, it was the best performing G10 currency in 2023 to date. The Swiss franc has just taken over that mantle, but pound is still the second best performing currency. As you said, Michael, a lot of key data next week. Will the pound hold on to these gains? Well, I think it's all, you know, it's about the Bank of England, obviously, over the very short term in terms of whether they hike again on the 11th of May. Kind of similar to the Fed, I don't think they need to. I just don't see the justification. Now, they still might not hike. And I think in that sense, next week is very important. And we had a speech yesterday from Chief Economist Hugh Pill at the Bank of England. And I listened to the speech and my sense was, you know, the Bank of England are beginning to see what they want to see, but they're a bit cautious about emphasizing it as enough good news to warrant a shift or a pause in policy. So, but, you know, the labor market, I think, is most important. And Hugh Pill yesterday, you know, talking about what's really of concern to the Bank of England, it's services related inflation, it's domestically driven inflation, which of course is wage related. But, you know, he mentioned some factors that do point to weaker wage growth and weaker labor demand. So from a wages perspective, what he called the jobs churn rate, so that's the job-to-job shifting mobility within the labor market, which is a sign of confidence, obviously, and if there's more turnover in jobs, it's usually indicative of higher wages. That churn rate is coming down. The rec survey pay data is declining. The vacancy to unemployment is declining. And if you look at 3 month on 3 month annual weekly earnings on an annualized basis, that is decelerating as well. And that's down at 5.5%, the weakest since December 2021. So, you know, next week, I would say the most important data point is perhaps the wages data. Of course, the CPI data is crucial as well, but we're going to see some fairly hefty base effects, which should result in the start of more notable declines in overall inflation. I think there's a danger that the data comes in a bit on the weaker side, maybe, and then the markets might pull back from the Bank of England needing to hike on the 11th of May. So from a rates perspective, that could result in some underperformance for the pound. But I wouldn't imagine that would last too long. And it would probably be more focused maybe against the euro, because obviously the ECB still has more to do. But a lot of the other G10 central banks have either signaled a pause or are about to pause, or from the Fed's perspective could hike again, but the market's priced for rate cuts. So, you know, in that context, from a G10 perspective, the pound does look pretty attractive. And I think we can see further gains going forward, certainly against the US dollar and probably against most of G10 bar maybe the euro.
Yeah, thanks very much, Derek. And finally, your trade views. Are there any fresh ideas you'd like our readers and listeners to hear about?
Yeah, we're still short dollar yen. We've had that for a while. We're kind of bouncing within a range, but we're still in the money on that. And, you know, I still think, as I said earlier, with the market pricing for rate cuts in the US, unless that's removed, I think dollar yen will struggle to move to the upside. So we're holding on to that short. And we've added a short dollar CAD trade view to that as well. So we had the Bank of Canada monetary policy meeting this week. As expected, they left rates on hold again. But they did tweak a little bit their guidance, and they mentioned about assessing whether the policy stance is sufficiently restrictive. Now, they didn't say that at the last meeting. So there's maybe a slight sense that they're pondering whether or not they've done enough. Now, we think they have done enough, but the data has been a bit more resilient than expected. And that kind of slight shift from the BOC is certainly helping to keep the two-year swap spread between the US and Canada at levels that are indicative of further declines in dollar CAD from here. Then, of course, you add in what's happened with OPEC Plus and the production cut, the US announcing the refilling of SPR. All of that is pretty supportive for crude oil prices. And again, our combined rates crude oil regression model is indicative of dollar CAD dropping a couple of big figures from here. So, yeah, I think near term it looks good for potentially seeing dollar CAD move further to the downside.
Thank you very much, Derek, and wishing everyone a good week ahead.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe. Contact your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from our Global Markets Research team.